This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Let me warn you about something. I don't even know if warning is the right way to put it, but I'll call it a warning, that there's something that I'm dwelling on a lot, and so there's going to be a theme I come back to a lot for the future of I'm Right, right here. Here's what I'm dwelling on. And I've been dwelling on it for years. If you've been watching, you know this. The working person, the working American. I take that back. Not the working person. I'm an American. I care about America almost exclusively, the working person of America. I care because I grew up as a working person. I come from a construction family, and I have seen people struggle. I know what it is to be out of work. And I watched during COVID, this is part of the reason I freaked out on this show, I watched as working people, maybe who were just finally making it, just finally getting ahead, maybe this is you, all of a sudden had that destroyed by the government. Remember, the government shut this country down. The government created social distancing ridiculousness, mandates, everything. All that came from the government. That was a choice to be made. And I watched a bunch of rich people during that time push, I'll just stay home, do your patriotic duty, while people who work hourly jobs, who need overtime, could not make ends meet. And it made me, I'll be honest with you, extremely bitter. And I hold on to that bitterness and resentment to this day. Watching as working people were dismissed and ignored. And now fast forward to today. The dollar is being destroyed. And I know, I understand that Donald Trump took over and now we've gotten inflation back under control, but back under control doesn't restore the value it had 5 years ago. It doesn't. That value is gone. So what that means is working people have watched their standard of living be destroyed. This bothers me to no end. I have so many friends like this in my own life who can't afford to send their kids to college. Their kids have graduated college, can't find a job, can't, the market, Jesse, but I just had a longtime buddy of mine, United States Marine Corps veteran that I'm friends with, we serve with, who lost his job. Took him forever to find a job. Now he's working a crappy job. He can't stay. It's bothering me. It's all around me. Now, the reason I bring up all that is this. Because that is our situation, I am going to be less and less and less tolerant than I used to be about things that distract and take away from that. That is my concern. The American citizen, the American working man, working woman, the young person, old person, doesn't matter the age, who can't get ahead in this country. That is my concern. And while that is happening, I am going to have less and less tolerance for other things. Things like theft. The truth is this. This is going to be a hard truth to accept. I've been digesting it all weekend, if you want to know why I'm so upset. The truth is that this country has been pillaged for years and years and years and years and years by Americans, by foreigners, foreigners in foreign lands, foreigners we bring here, but people from all over the globe, including here, look at the United States Treasury, your tax money, my tax money. They look at it as a big bank vault to be pillaged. And every single chance they get, they are pillaging that bank vault. While people, maybe this is you, are struggling to pay the bills, we have record credit card debt, on and on and on down the list I can go. People around the globe, foreign and domestic, are pillaging this country, and it makes me so angry I could punch somebody. Here's a story. Sheila, I have to try to read the stupid name. Sherfalus McCormick, I know you're going to find this shocking, it's a hyphenated last name, Democrat congresswoman from Florida, just found guilty, violated 25 House rules. What happened there? Well, her family, well, I'm going to read it directly. Her family's businesses were used to channel $5 million in emergency COVID-19 funds into her 2021 special election campaign. And honestly, I don't even know that I just want to pick on her. She's just one of so many. Elected, unelected, scumbags in this country and in other countries who look at the Treasury, your money, while you're not making it, as something that they can steal. Here was Hakeem Jeffries being asked about her.
Congresswoman Sherfalus McCormick is entitled to the presumption of innocence, like every other American. I'm a hard no as it relates to the effort to expel her, and it's going to fail.
Okay. We'll see where that goes from here. But I'll be honest with you, I'm not even dwelling on whether or not she's going to be expelled. It's not that that really gets me. Congress is broken. I hate them all anyway at this point in time. What gets me is this piece of lowlife trash took $5 million of your money. While you're struggling to make ends meet, she walked into our bank vault, threw it in her stupid purse. I'm sure it's a Gucci or something like that. You probably paid for that too. And used it to fund her reelection campaign. And like I said, I don't even mean to pick on her specifically because it's just freaking everywhere. Everywhere now. They all do it. J.D. Vance, by the grace of God, has been put in charge of some fraud. Now, we'll see to what extent he's given a leash on this, but maybe someone's finally going to burn. Ilhan, maybe?
Yeah, so we actually think that Ilhan Omar definitely committed immigration fraud against the United States of America. And I talked to Stephen Miller about this actually recently. We're trying to look at what the remedies are. That's the thing that we're trying to figure out, is what are the legal remedies now that we know that she's committed immigration fraud? How do you go after her? How do you investigate her? How do you actually do the thing? How do you build the case necessary to get some justice for the American people? There's a related issue, Benny, which is she has been at the center of a lot of the worst fraudsters in the Somalian community. So do I know that Ilhan Omar was aware that the Quality Clearing Center was defrauding the American people? I'm not certain of it, but we at least need to investigate it, because if people can commit wrongdoing without even the fear that they're going to be found out, that's a fundamental problem. So I'm worried about the immigration fraud. I'm also worried about, what did Ilhan Omar know about what was happening in the Somali community, and why was nobody looking into it?
Okay, so just to clear this up, a story I know you already know, but we now have people, communists, who were communists when they escaped foreign dumps like Somalia. They are brought here. They get citizenship here. They get into elected office here. Then they bring other scumbags from the dump they came from here into this country. And those scumbags they bring in from the dump then go on to walk into that exact same bank vault of your money to take money out of it for themselves while you can't afford to pay your credit card bill off. Have you seen the report? I know we saw a lot of Nick Shirley's reporting out of Minnesota, and I warned you at the time, many people were warning, so it's not like I was the only one, but I warned you at the time that if the fraud in Minnesota angered you, it was but the cheese sticks before your Red Lobster shrimp scampi gets there. It was but an appetizer. He's in California. Here's how that's going.
Are you guys the hospice consultants?
Yes.
Oh, can we talk to you guys?
About?
I want to open my hospice.
You want to open a hospice?
Yeah.
Okay, what was your name?
My name's Nick, but I want to open up a hospice.
I understand, but we don't take care of that.
Can I get some information?
Do you want a number?
Yeah, or give me a flyer or something. And this is the hospice consultant?
Yes. No, only hospice.
All right, so they say they're open right now. They won't let us into the lobby. This is no way to conduct business. We are two entrepreneurs trying to open up our own hospice.
Soaked to the bone right now.
We were denied service by the potential fraudsters, and as we were leaving, one of the fraudsters started to leave from the back in a $200,000 Maybach.
And we have a Mercedes-Benz driving out. Where can we open a hospice at? We'd like to open up a hospice. Get a Maybach just like you. So is this how I can get a Maybach? By opening up my own hospice?
That's your money. You driving a Maybach? Foreign and domestic, our country has been pillaged and looted over and over and over again. And this is why Americans can't make ends meet. It grates on me. It is grating on me. I cannot stop stressing about it. I don't know what the deal is. I just can't let it go. Every other issue now, and you're going to see this. This is why I warned you at the beginning of the show. Every other issue now, everything that comes up, I've brought it up to you before, Iran, whatever, every issue that comes up, I look at it through that lens, through the struggling American and what's being done for him and how this benefits him. Now, credit where credit is due, Scott Bessent has been a pretty outstanding spokesman for the Trump administration. He looks like he's got a plan to maybe track down some of these dirt balls.
I don't know, Joe, but it's very exciting. I think it's going to be a great way to ferret out waste, fraud, and abuse, starting in Minneapolis, which has been ground zero. So we are encouraging whistleblowers who know about fraud, people who are stealing from the American taxpayer, to come forward. At Treasury, we're setting up a website, and we will be giving rewards up to 10 to 30% of the fines that we levy.
10 to 30%. 30% is a large number. Do you have any idea the kind of money they think they're going to track down if they're offering 30% rewards? I'm excited to find out more from these fraud investigations. I'm excited, and at the same time, I'm dreading it. Does that make sense? Because I know I'm going to wake up in the morning and I'm going to open up the paper. No one opens up the paper. I'm going to wake up in the morning and I'm going to open up my phone and I'm going to see some story. I'm going to start shaking with rage and, yeah, get ready. At least we're starting to dig into it. All that may have made you uncomfortable, but I am right. You know why there's a low-T men's clinic on every corner of your town? And how do I know that? Because it's all over. They're everywhere. Why has this become a thing? Because men, maybe this is you, they're feeling tired all the time, feel lacking focus. They knew something was wrong. So men started to get their testosterone levels checked and they started to figure out that, oh my gosh, I'm low T. Well, that's embarrassing. Well, what happened? Well, it's not your fault. Because of the birth control and things like that that's in the water supply, we drink estrogen. We drink down our T levels in this country. Stay out of the clinic. Get a male vitality stack from Chalk. Get your T levels jacked up 20% in 90 days and then keep on going. For 4 years, I've been taking a male vitality stack from Chalk, natural herbal supplements, and I feel like a million bucks. You want to feel like that? Go to chalk.com/JesseTV. So, remember that Bible verse? There's a news story out about the gayness of the NBA and whatnot. We'll get to that in a moment. But remember that Bible verse, or at least you've heard of it, maybe you haven't read it, where I'm paraphrasing, forgive me, Lord, where it says, you know, we're not fighting against flesh and blood, you know, human beings, or spiritual forces, dark forces. You want to know one of the reasons that thing has always made an impact on me, that thing, that verse has always made an impact on me? Because it's a reminder to me that the struggle we are in is an eternal one. That's not meant to be ominous, right? But there is no final victory over it here on this earth. While we're still here, there is no final victory over it. It will outlast you and me and my sons and their sons after them, or daughters, whatever they end up having. It will outlast all of us as long as this earth remains as it is. And we can lose sight of that, not when we're losing, when we're on the outside of power. We totally get that, right? Oh, that's demonic, they're demons. We get that. We can lose sight of that when we're winning, when we have power. We can think that they're finally defeated. They're on the outs. They're ashamed. They're on the run. They're never going to stop because these are forces well beyond human beings. Do you remember, do you actually remember what it was like for 4 years under Joe Biden with these freaks?
Hello, I'm Admiral Rachel Levine. Climate change is having a disproportionate effect on the physical and mental health of Black communities. Black Americans are more likely than white Americans to live in areas and housing that increase their susceptibility to climate-related health issues. And 65% of Black Americans report feeling anxious about climate change's impact. Through our Office of Climate Change and Health Equity and the Office of Environmental Justice, we're working with providers and community leaders to identify innovative approaches that empower communities to address the health consequences linked to climate change.
That was our government. Four-star admiral. That was our government for a while. And everything was gay. Everything. The White House was lit up in gay colors. Corinne Diversity Hire got the job, at least in part, because she's a Black lesbian. Remember that weird freak that was had all kinds of nuclear information and ended up getting fired for stealing people's luggage? Monkeypox comes out, and everyone figured out in about half a second that this was something that only plagued gay men, and so they grabbed a satanic guy and threw him in the White House and scolded everybody to call it Mpox. And we're looking around and everything was gay. And it's not like they hid it. The President of the United States of America got up and said it.
We made human rights for LGBT around the world a top priority in my foreign policy. Increasing our assistance to brave activists on the ground. Defending human rights in countries to pass anti-gay laws. That passed anti-gay laws like Uganda. Going after Uganda. Making clear that they cannot have the same benefit.
It's our top priority. And during that time, in that 4 years, you and I, it wasn't hard to see what was right in front of your face. Oh my gosh, this is degenerate, demonic filth. I don't like it. This is horrible. This, we have to fight against this. It wasn't hard then. But then, last November happened. Donald Trump wins. Donald Trump wins. We win the House. We win the Senate. And it seemed like, for those of us who hated that crap, it seemed like victory, didn't it? It seemed like the American public woke up, they knew what you already knew, and they said, finally, we're done with it. We're pushing back. And we lied to ourselves, at least somewhat. I know I did. I don't want to put words in your mouth. We lied to ourselves and said, this woke stuff is finally dead. It's finally gone. Corporate America has learned its lesson. They're going to change their ways. But these are spiritual forces. This is not just your liberal Aunt Peggy in HR sending out another gay email about Pride Month. These forces go beyond you and me, any human being alive today. Jaden Ivey is a basketball player for the Chicago Bulls. It's fine if you don't know who he is. It's fine. But Jaden Ivey heard that the Chicago Bulls will, of course, doing what so many professional teams are still sneaking in there. They're going to do a Pride night. Trans visibility, Pride this, queer that. Jaden Ivey is a Bible-believing Christian. Jaden Ivey said this.
God did not make a man to be with a man. How... God did not make a girl to be with a girl. God made a man for the purpose of procreation, to have another child. How can a woman bear a child with a woman? How?
Okay. A Bible-believing Christian. Yeah, the team let him go. They cut him. And I quote, four, this is an official statement from the Chicago Bulls, due to conduct detrimental to the team. Here's the Chicago Bulls head coach, Billy Donovan.
think there's a certain level of standards and expectations that are here. You know, I mean, we have people from all different walks of life working in the building and players from all different walks of life, right? So the first thing is, you know, everybody comes with their own personal experiences, but one is we got to all be professional. I think there's got to be a high level of respect for one another, and we got to help each other, you know, and then be accountable to those standards. So I think that, you know, from ownership, you know, Jerry and Michael down to Arturis and Mark in the front office and me as a coach, you know, I think, and even to the players, you know, there's a certain standard that we want to all live by, you know, and we're all responsible to that standard.
Standards. Well, you might be asking yourself, well, what are you talking about? You said there's different views. Why can't he have a different view? Because there aren't actually different views. There's one permitted view. There is a war. You can accept it or you cannot accept it, but there is most definitely a spiritual war going on between demonic and angelic forces that is happening all over this globe, and the LGBTQ freak parade is solely on the side of the demonic forces, and they believe they are at war. Now, you may not want to be at war. You may not like it that you were at war. You may not, it doesn't have to be this way. Can't we all get along? And I totally sympathize, but nevertheless, we are at war. And some people, credit to them, are stepping up. Travion Henderson, he's a running back, Ohio State Buckeye. He came out after Ivy was cut, and he put up this Bible verse talking about him being cut. Quote, Matthew 5:10, by the way. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of God. It's a wonderful, wonderful quote. His head coach, Mike Vrabel, he said this.
Travion quoted some Bible verses supporting a Chicago Bulls player who got released for some comments that he made. And I just, how do you measure the line between conduct detrimental to the team, which is why the Bulls released the player in their view, and allowing a 23-year-old to, you know, express his personal beliefs?
I think there is a fine line. I want to tell you, I love Travion. I love the person. He cares deeply about our team. He cares deeply about his faith. He cares deeply about his family, his wife, the people in our building. And so I want them to be able to express what they believe in their heart and in their mind, but also want to make sure that they're educated, and we want to be inclusive.
Express what's in your heart. Have your faith. But hey, you need to be educated. Why don't you come in and sit down so we can educate you? And you need to be inclusive. You will notice, of course, that that inclusivity never seems to apply to the LGBTQ freak parade. They don't ever get scolded about how they need to be inclusive of you and your belief. It's only you who need to be inclusive. Stop being divisive. You just need to be educated more. I just wanted to remind you again, we're going to talk to Clay Travis, obviously. Clay Travis, my mortal enemy. We'll talk to Clay about this. He has a lot of thoughts about it in a moment. But I want to remind you of this. Whatever your beliefs, whatever they are, the demons are at war with you. You understand that? They are at war with you. They have declared it. They operate in such a way that they are at war with you, whether or not you want to fight a war, or think you should be in a war, or think you are in a war, is completely inconsequential. Demonic forces greater than any human being have declared said war. You will either choose to participate in the war and fight it, or you will lose it. All that may have made you uncomfortable, but I am right. Your cell phone. We all have them. But I have it, you have it, my wife has it. My kids are teenagers at this point in time. They have them. So it's just one of those things where people are going to have them. You might be watching me right now on your phone. I got it. Who are you paying for it? We haven't forgotten, surely, that corporate America has chosen to wade into the cultural war against your values, and Verizon, AT&T, and T-Mobile are not fighting on your side. They are fighting against you. Now, are they fighting against you with your money? Switch to Pure Talk, the veteran-led company that doesn't get involved in all the filth and degeneracy. They charge you less. They're on the same towers, so you don't have to sit and stress about the service. I might drop calls, none of that. You can switch to Pure Talk right now, save a bunch of money, and not feel guilty about paying your cell phone bill. Go to puretalk.com/JesseTV.
Thank everybody for being here. I didn't plan on making a remark beforehand, because this is a symbol of who we are. And it's not political. It's not religious. It's not ideological. This is a flag that says clearly that we are a city that's safe and welcoming for everyone. And the steps that were taken to seek to erase who we are, who you are, to minimize the values of this city cannot and will not change who we are.
For each other will carry us through.
Yes, our love for each other will carry us through.
We're here with our courage.
Sorry. I didn't mean to laugh over that clip. It's a very sad day. The mayor of Boise had to take down all the gay stuff. It's not political or religious. You see, Idaho's governor signed a bill into law that says they can't fly all the gay stuff, and they had to take down the gay stuff, and then they had to sing a gay song, and it was one of the funniest things I've ever seen in my life. Joining me now, Mike Slater, host of the wonderful Politics by Faith podcast. Hey, Mike, she says it's not religious.
Everything these communists do is religious. They have their own religion, their own gods they worship. It's really themselves, but they're doing the work of the devil. It's all religious to them. That's one of the tricks they say to you is, oh, we don't want you to shove your Christian religion down our throats because we want to shove our religion down your throats. The idea of even flying pride flags over city property, that's crazy. I know we've been living through it for the last like 10 years or so. That's a crazy idea. That's a crazy concept. The whole homosexuality, gay marriage, all this whole movement, it's just the worship of the self, as all sin is. And the idea that we are proudly proclaiming it everywhere we go, over every church, many churches, I should say. I was going to say every bank. I remember when I lived in California, San Diego, all the banks were flying it. Like, it was like every bank was like a gay bar, like for a month. The biggest flag in San Diego is this huge pride flag that they have. So we have to worship their idols. We have to worship their flags and their religious edicts. But heaven forbid we do anything related to Christianity. That's offensive. Anything Christian is all terrible. Christianity, our heritage, the founding worldview and principles of everything that we started as a country, what inspired the pilgrims to even come to this country in the first place, every law, every founding document, everything based off of the Christian worldview and the Christian faith. And that's offensive to them. We got to get rid of all of that, because that's what communists do. They destroy, they tear down. It's all they do. As you know, Jesse, you're the expert in that. So they just tear down and destroy so that they can lift up their own idols. So here's like the first time I've ever seen in my life, actually, a pride flag being taken down, and their sweet tears bring me great joy. Alas, it's just the beginning. It's one place, one city hall in Idaho. We have so much more work to do. The fact that, if I may, Jesse, bring up a slightly different topic. The other day, the guard for the Chicago Bulls, Jaden Ivey, maybe it was, he did this Instagram thing or whatever. He's like, man, this is pretty crazy that we proclaim unrighteousness with these pride nights. He got fired. It's like, what are you talking about? Of course it's crazy that all of our major league sports leagues have pride nights. What the heck? Who even came up with that idea? And it just shows to me how far we've fallen because I've heard one professional sports guy say that's crazy. He got fired. I've heard one professional sports athlete come to his defense. It's a running back for the Patriots, who talked about Matthew 5, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for they'll be for righteousness' sake, there will be glory in heaven. One guy, so two professional athletes have come to their defense. We're not even close to winning back culture, and we will never win back our culture until Christians are as bold as the Muslims, until we're as shrewd as the communists, and until we stop worshiping at this fake altar of being nice. We're never going to win this country back to what it was. It's never going to happen. We need power in numbers, massive power in numbers for this Bulls player. We need hundreds of professional athletes to come out and say this is crazy in order for this nonsense to finally stop. But I don't see that out there yet. And that's why the Muslims, that's why white progressive women have been winning the culture wars for decades now, because we've been a bunch of cowards.
Mike, I'm glad to hear you say it. I actually brought this up last night on my show, talking specifically about this story and how they are at war with us. And so many people on the right, certainly Christians, don't want to be at war. Who wants to be at war all the time? We want to live at peace. We just want to live our lives. And so people try to deny that there's a war. People try to sit out the war. I don't want to get involved in any of that stuff. But you cannot sit out, because this is a spiritual war that is beyond any of us, any one human being on the left or the right. This is a spiritual war, and they have declared it. They are fighting it. We don't have a choice. We have to fight back.
More than anything, what they want you to do is sit out. They just want you to be quiet. They don't even want you to know what's going on. That's why the devil is very shrewd. Right, C.S. Lewis writes about this in the Screwtape Letters, that he doesn't want the patient, the Christian, to even necessarily be like proclaiming like fiercely anti-Christian. Like, that's not even necessarily the devil's game. He just wants you to be neutral or nothing or quiet or calm or nice and sit it out and don't get involved. That's his number one goal. Then you are so captured by the enemy if you choose to sit it out or pretend, as you said, that there's no battle even being waged at all against us. Oh, Satan loves that more than anything. And the idea of this war, first of all, it's so pathetic that we're letting these losers win it. It's one thing to lose a battle here or there, right? But you're like, well done, other team, you did good. But for these people to be winning, it's crazy. It's unacceptable. It's pathetic for Christians across this country to let these people win as they're winning right now. It's unacceptable. But the idea of a war, there's this video of this thing in London. They've done it every year for a couple of years now. It's called Al-Quds Day. And so Al-Quds is the Muslim, or the Arabic word for Jerusalem, because the Muslims control Jerusalem from like 638 to 1917. So like 1300 years, the Muslims control Jerusalem for 1300 years, except for like 100 year, like two increments here or there, right? And they would like to control it again. So they call it Al-Quds. And in London, they have a thing called Al-Quds Day. And they have this big parade. And there was this one part in the parade through the streets of London, where you have this beautiful old London streets, right? And they have these pride flags strewn, like a permanent display of pride flags across the boulevard. And there's like five wide and like 20 rows deep, just pride flags as far as you can see. And these are the even wackier pride flags. These are the pride flags that have the trans like triangles on them, and then it has the intersect circle in the middle, right? So they're just like piling gods on top of just the gay god that they've been wearing, right? So you have pride flags as far as I can see, but then you also have Al-Quds Day marching underneath the pride flags. So you have these Muslim people, Muslim invaders, waving the Hamas flag and the Hezbollah flag and these huge black flags with red Arabic letters. And it doesn't say we love the gays. I don't know Arabic. I don't know exactly what it says, but it probably doesn't say we love the gays underneath the pride flag. But they don't care, because they work together, because all they're about is destroying Christianity. That's first and foremost, and they are great allies in that effort. So the Muslims will happily march with the gays in order to take down the Christians, the biggest enemy there is. And then they'll go after each other, and I'm pretty sure the Muslims are going to win that battle as well. But this juxtaposition between the pro-gay lobby, and who think that, oh, it's about being nice and tolerant, and oh, here's our flag, and then you have the Muslims underneath who not only want to kill you, if you are gay in their country, will kill you. They will throw you off the building to kill you. That's how much they hate the gays, but yet the Christians were the bad guys. Just, I thought of that when you thought of, when you said there's a war going on and we don't even realize it. Forget people realizing there's a spiritual war going on. People don't even realize there's a war going on in the flesh, even amongst different groups who want to kill you.
Mike, I'm glad you brought up this specifically, because I'll tell you, it's once a week to my show, I get all these emails, and once a week I get an email asking me, Jesse, I don't understand the LGBTQ freak mob joining forces with Islam, because they reference everything you just referenced. They kill gay people. Why are they joining forces? Why are they joining forces? People look at this logically and they can't work through it in their heads. They should be mortal enemies. Why are they joining forces? Mike, why are they joining forces?
They just want to destroy. Progressives are not for anything. They're only against. We believe in the good, the beautiful, and the true. They do not believe in anything. They just want to destroy what exists. They want to destroy what is good, beautiful, true. And this is a very interesting point, if I may, that the people who want to destroy oftentimes have a better sense, a better radar for what is good, beautiful, and true, because their whole psyche is about destroying it. And they can't destroy something that's good, beautiful, and true if they don't know it's good, beautiful, and true. So they're actually really well attuned to what is good, beautiful, and true, maybe even more so than regular people walking around who take all this stuff for granted. We don't even know the things that they're destroying are good, beautiful, and true, because we don't really think about it. We don't really care enough. And that's why they're able to get away with it. That's why they're so effective, because they can pinpoint everything. Let's just take the NBA, to go back to this guy, right? The NBA, it's a good cultural marker, landmark that unites people, and it's a good, generally, like, it's a good thing. Sports are a good thing, right? They want to destroy them. They want to divide, they want to destroy. It's all they care about. They wake up in the morning thinking, how can I destroy everything around me? Because it's who they are. That's why. So they'll ally with anyone who is dead set on the same destruction that they're set with.
Mike, we talk about these things and the evil seems so pervasive. And as you mentioned, they're so clever, and it's just, we see it all around us and people can get disheartened. There's somebody watching us talk right now, probably many people who are disheartened. It's hopeless. It's too much. There, you know, that great scene from Lord of the Rings. How can we stand against such reckless hate? How can we stand, Mike?
Give you another Lord of the Rings line. Tolkien says you should fight in the fields, fight against evil in the fields that you know. You and I, Jesse, we are given the ministry of raising children. That's our most important priority right now. That's our way to fight against the evil one. But we have other fields as well, and so does every single person listening right now. But then personally, also, we have to be focused on eternity. That's the only hope. That's the ultimate hope. And if I may, that's what Resurrection Sunday is about. That's what Easter is about. That's the ultimate hope, and it's all about the resurrection. All of Christianity hinges on the resurrection. One thing I love about the Bible is how it's so bold on that point. It'd be one thing if the Bible said, "Here's the virgin birth." That's kind of crazy, but okay. And then dying on the cross, crucifixion. Like, okay, we can get our head around that. But then there's this coming back from the dead thing. That's a little crazy. You don't really have to believe in that. It's kind of loopy and wacky, but you can believe it if you want, but you don't have to. No. The Bible says everything rests on the resurrection. The whole thing. If you don't believe in this, or if this didn't happen, then we are all a bunch of fools, and we are most pitied. We're to be most pitied if this didn't happen. Everything rests on the resurrection. And I thought of this now, Jesse, because the resurrection proves that Jesus, everything he said is true, but also it proves that he beat death. And if he didn't beat death, then we can't, and then our sins will lead us to hell for all of eternity. But because he beat death, he beat our sin, he can take on our sin, and we get to go to heaven instead. So it all hinges on the resurrection, and that has to be your eternal hope, even when things look bad, even when the Supreme Court justices look like a bunch of dopes and can't do the most basic things. even when the Chicago Bulls fire their players because of Pride Night, even when Al-Qud Muslims are marching through the conquered nation of England, you're like, yikes. Things are looking pretty bleak at the moment. But we always have eternity, and that is the thing that we celebrate coming up on Sunday.
Amen. He does the Politics by Faith podcast. You can find it on YouTube. You can find it wherever you get podcasts. It's absolutely wonderful. Make your day a whole lot better. Praise Jesus for Mike Slater. Thank you, my brother. All right. It's time to lighten the mood. And there's something happening in the media world out there that has me just absolutely giddy. So TMZ, I don't care about TMZ, but it's this publication, and what they do is they follow around celebrities, and they break celebrity scandals and things like that. They're snapping pictures of this celebrity drunk in a bar. That's what they do. Well, I don't do celebrity talk. I don't care about that kind of stuff. So whatever, TMZ is neither here nor there. But TMZ announced that they're opening up a political wing, if you will. What's that mean? Well, now, instead of chasing around just actors and whatever stupid cocaine thing they happen to be doing at the moment, now they're going to follow around politicians. And I love that because I despise politicians. I despise the people in Washington, D.C. who abuse us every single day. I despise the fact that they trash this country and then go live like kings. And that brings me to Lindsey Graham. Lindsey Graham's been all over the news every single night telling you, me, Donald Trump, and the whole rest of the world that we have to stay in Iran and start World War III, that nothing else matters but this. It's the most important thing in the world. In fact, he's going to grab the sons and daughters of South Carolina and send them over there to die in Iran. He's loving this thing. And then, While we had 5-hour wait times at the airport, Lindsey Graham got caught in Disney World by TMZ. There's Lindsey Graham. He got caught there, and you notice he's holding a very, very large toy. Let's not dwell on the toy for too long because that doesn't need to be something we dwell on. Lindsey's getting a lot of crap. Lindsey, after getting so much guff for partying in Disney World with his very large wand, Lindsey decided he had to butch up a little bit, run social media, threw a picture of himself out there. Hey, look at me and my shotgun. Just love doing man stuff with my shotgun. Oh, Lindsey, it nourishes my soul. South Carolina, time to primary this man. All right. See you tomorrow.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.